Hello, I'm Mike Salem. God has not left us to wonder how we should live. In His Word, He has given us practical instruction for growing in godliness. Join us for Pastor Salem's message, A Checklist for Godliness. May the Lord bless you as you listen.
I'm Pastor Salem. I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And every weekend, we gather together all over the world and so we can worship the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. And it never grows old. We never get tired of it. He's just sweeter every day. We're going to have a sermon today. We're going to talk about checklists for godliness. That is, we want to be like Jesus. And so there's some little guidelines that He's given us in the Bible. And so we're going to look at that. But first of all, of course, our letters. We want to share our letters so you'll know all over the world what people are thinking. And you can pray for them. And maybe it's a question you might be asking. But here's a letter from Chicago, Illinois. And it says, thank you, Pastor, for your preaching about Moses not giving the living bread. Thanks be to Jesus, the great I am, the bread of life, and he that eateth never will get hungry. Please pray for my three adult children that they may taste this bread of life, Jesus in Christ, and this signed mother. I thought that's beautiful. She talks about Moses and the giving bread in the wilderness. You remember the children of Israel were in the wilderness 40 years, and God sent bread for them, manna, sent bread all those 40 years. And when the Pharisees saw, they said, Moses gave the bread, and this woman is setting them straight. It's God that gave the bread, and he gave us the bread of life, Jesus. And then she says she has three adult children, and she's a mother, and she's praying that they'll come to Jesus, that they'll eat of this bread of life. And I just want to tell her, don't ever stop praying, because I know God hears mothers. I think God hears two groups of people above all the others. One of them are the mothers. There's just something I've had people come to me after mother is gone and said, my mother prayed for me and I want Jesus, and they accepted Jesus. And the other ones that pray that God hates to say no to is the children. Because the little children have such an innocent little faith that God hates to have them say no to them because he doesn't want them to get their little feelings hurt or anything. He wants them to just trust him. And so just when you talk to God, he'll pray. So mother, mothers, I know this is not just this one in Chicago. Wherever you are, you pray for your children. God will answer your prayers so many times. Here's Fargo, North Dakota. Thank you for your weekly messages. My 25-year-old daughter loves to watch your program. We appreciate your faithfulness. I pray for your health. You bring a strong message even to a younger audience. Well, of course we bring a message to the young people. It's applicable to them. And the reason it's the living word of God. The Bible is the living word of God, and that's what we rest on. That's all we have on this program is the living word of God. And God speaks to the children, and he speaks to the young people, and he speaks to the old people, and he speaks to the people in the 17th century, in the 14th century, and the 21st century, and the cultures change, and the world changes. But the living word of God is exactly there to speak to hearts and souls. Wonderful, wonderful Bible. So we know that people will be blessed by it because it's the living word of the living God. I think we got time for one more, and that's Evergreen Park, Illinois. And this one writes and says, just started watching you a couple of weeks on your 98th birthday. God bless you. You inspire me with what you continue to do at age 98 in the ministry. I'm so blessed and excited to do the work of the Lord just like you because I'm not comparing, but I know if God continue to work through you, then I know the Lord has worked for me to do. I am 22 years old. Isn't that beautiful? There's a young man, and he's saying, if that old guy can do it, I can do it. And that's right. I'll tell you who I am. I'm a farm boy, and I was a sheep herder, and dirt poor, and I was a C student. And so there's nothing great about me. But if you give your life to God, give your life to Jesus and use the Word of God. So you can, like this 22-year-old, and he's watching us, and he's challenged, if he can do it, I can do it. You bet you can do it with the help of the Lord and trusting the Lord. I can do, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You just need to be in his will, God's will, and he'll see you through. Well, if you'd like to write to us, you can write to us at Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002, and we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we'd love to have you write in. But let's look at our message for today, a checklist for godliness. Over and over in Scripture, we who name the name of Christ are called to be like him, to show forth his love and to show his holiness and his godliness, and to see that life that his, we can live a life that'll help others and encourage others. Not only are we asked us to live that way, but he shows us how. Jesus shows us how. He is our example. He's our guideline. And he's written it down and given some instructions in the Bible, the wonderful Word of God. And so we want to ask some of these guidelines and ask questions about them. For instance, we will say, if we want to live like Jesus and honor Jesus, we have to say, will this thing, will this, whatever I'm doing, will this cause me to become a slave to it? Am I getting into something in over my head that I can't handle that'll take me and make me a slave of it? In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12, Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me. I will not be brought into the power of any. The Living Bible paraphrases it like this. I can do anything I want to if Christ has not said no. But some of those things aren't good for me. Even if I'm allowed to do them, I'll refuse to do it if I think they might get such a grip on me, I can't easily stop when I want to. Friend of mine, the devil is out to get you. If you're a Christian, he can't get your soul because that's all settled forever. But he wants to ruin your life so you don't serve him. And so he'll give you something you're doing that may just not look too harmless and all, but it just gets a hold of you and it becomes a habit, until a habit that destroys your life. You've seen it and I've seen it. Some of the nicest people in the world that I know are slaves to some evil habit that is destroying them, and they're trying to break it and they can't break it. But when you accept Jesus and take Jesus into your heart, he'll give you the strength and you can break it and you can be victorious over it. And so this wonderful Lord Jesus tells us we must be on guard. And some of these things might look so good on the surface, but underneath there's something that'll take us and destroy us. And so we have to be careful how we live. There was a great Bible preacher, Dr. Clarence E. McCartney. He was minister of the Presbyterian Church, USA, for over half a century. And he talked about this thing of something that looks so good and you think you can get by with it, but it's just going to destroy you if you let it get a hold of you. McCartney said, I was once consulted by a student who had been urged to take a course of conduct that was wrong. Not only wrong, but shockingly wrong. Amazed that one should feel it necessary to consult a minister or anyone else as to the right or wrong of the suggested action, I said, finally, how does it seem to you when you pray about it? Oh, then came the quick answer. It seems to be wrong. McCartney goes on and he says, this is the great thing about prayer. It strips the mask from the face of temptation. A temptation to succeed, at least at the beginning, must wear some disguise or mask. But prayer tears away that disguise and reveals all in the hideous features. Look at the suggestion or the temptation in the light of prayer. Bring it into contact with the holy thoughts and desires. If it is wrong, it cannot stand that light. For prayer will no more direct the temptation beset soul in the wrong direction than the North Star will direct the tempest-tossed mariner in the wrong course on the sea. So it all comes looking so good. The devil he's smart enough to know that he can't show these evil habits and hard habits in all their wickedness. And so he makes it look good. He has young people doing everything so good. All of them are laughing, nobody crying in that bunch. And they're leading them astray, and they're taking on habits. They're going to destroy their life. So the first test for godliness is this. Will this thing make me to become a slave to it? If it isn't always something, and it isn't always something bad either. It could be golfing or hunting or gardening. It could be excessive lifestyle. It could be insane desire to get money. And that thing can destroy you because you don't serve the Lord and you don't give to the Lord. And so this habit, it could be 1,000 different things. So keep your eye out for anything that might make you a slave to it. And then secondly, will this thing edify me? That is, will it build me up? Will it build me up physically and mentally and spiritually? And God speaks through Paul again on this matter in 1 Corinthians 10, 23. God says, and Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will all things edify not. The Old Jerusalem Bible translates it like this. For with me there is no forbidden things, but not everything does good. True, there are no forbidden things, but it is not everything that helps building me up and helps me to grow. Will this thing in question build up my body and my health? Will it hurt my body? Is it a thing detrimental to my body and my well-being? Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians 6, 19. He says to the Christian, he says, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which ye please God, and ye are not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. My dear sainted mother had 4 sons, and we had hired men, and they smoked like a smokestack, and they drank on Saturday nights. And my mother taught us those 4 boys, and she prayed for us. Don't you touch that stuff, because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and don't you do anything to desecrate that body, because the Holy Spirit of God Almighty dwells within you as a believer, and you keep it clean and you keep it pure. How about our mental state, the mind that we have? We need to think, what will this thing that I'm doing, how is it going to affect my mind? Yeah, your mind is like a computer. It stores everything I see. It stores everything I read. It stores everything I learn. It stores everything I think. And when I am, what am I storing away in my mind and my soul? See? What am I doing with my mind? What are the things that you do? Put them to the test. What about your reading materials? What kind of reading materials you're reading? How about the music you listen to? The lyrics of some of this music is horrendous. Think about the TVs that I watch. What kind of TVs am I watching? The things that run through my mind and think and ponder. What am I thinking about? The friends that I keep, it's all of these affect that mind. And I can tell you something and you'll think about it for a long time. I'm thinking of a red-faced monkey. Now you're going to think about that. And you say, I don't want to think about that. But you're going to think about that for a while. And when it gets into that mind, it can easy come in. But once it's there, it's stamped indelibly. And only by the grace of God can it be cured and purified. So watch out what you take into your mind and your soul. We must always do those things that make our spiritual life stronger. You see, we have 2 natures in us. When we accept Jesus, we receive a new nature. He says, behold, all things become new. You're a new creation in Christ. And so we have 2 natures. We have the old nature, the flesh nature that wants to gets into all kinds of sin. And we have the spiritual nature that wants the things of God. And so you feed the things of God. They talked to an old pastor one time. And he's an old farmer pastor out in the country. And he says, you know, it's just like two dogs fighting in me. There's a black dog of sin and there's a white dog of God. And they're fighting each other, the two natures. And they say, well, which one wins? And he says, the one I say sick 'em to. So you say sick 'em to the things of God and have nothing to do with those things that are going to tear you down. And then another thing we have to do, we have to ask ourselves, and if we want to be like the Lord, do these things in question glorify God? In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, here's the basis for that statement. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Every decision we make ought to be made with the underlying thought, does this bring glory to God? Is this pleasing to God? Does this honor God? What would I do if Jesus was standing with me here? Those are the things to talk about and think about. And so we honor God in everything to do. The places I go, the things I do, the hard things thoughts I harbor, the goals in life that I set. Are they honoring God? Do they bring glory to God? Or do I cast a shadow on the things that are pure and that are like God? David knew that God wanted him to walk an upright life before God. And David said this, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And one of the great things in life is to walk in the paths of righteousness, the things that please God, the things that bless the good things in my life, that spiritual life, that white dog, and not that evil sin of the devil would have us follow. To live a life that is an honoring and a tribute to God. You know, I've worked for 75 years, and I see these people, and they live their life, and some of them leave the nicest things and beautiful things, and then some of them have a terrible things. And so put the emphasis on the things that are good. Think about the day they're going to have your funeral, and what are they going to say about you? And make it easy for the preacher so he doesn't have to stretch the things and get around and try to make up some good when it's just plain bad. I read about one pastor, and he had in his church, he had two brothers, and they were very, very rich, and they were very, very bad. And one of them died. And when he died, the one that was living came to him and said, I want you to do something for me. And if you do something for what I want you to do, I'll pay off the debt on the church. And they had a beautiful new church and a horrendous debt. He said, I'll write you a check and I'll pay the whole thing off. But at his funeral, my brother's funeral, you've got to say he was a saint. Oh boy. So the pastor said, give me the check. He wrote the check, he took it to the bank, and he paid off the whole thing. Next day, he had his funeral. So the pastor gets up in the funeral, and he began by saying, this, he was an evil man. He was a bad man. He cheated on his wife. He abused his family. The pastor had a long list of all the bad things this guy had done. And then he summed it all up, and the pastor summed it up and says, but he compared to his brother, he was a saint. So he made it. He made it. Now, don't put the pastor on that kind of a plate. Live that kind of a life so you can stand up and say, he was a man who loved the Lord and did the things of the Lord. And then he says, watch out for the kind of company you keep, because your company's going to affect you. You're not going to change that company. The company's going to affect you. And then in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 17 and 18, God says, wherefore come out from among them, that is the worldly crowd, living the fleshly side of it and ruling God out. Wherefore come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I'll be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. And so if you want to be faithful to God, you will have to live a different lifestyle. We'll have to have a different lifestyle. We can't do the way the world does. We have to march to a different drummer. St. John puts it very clearly in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. God says, stop loving this evil world and all that it offers you. For when you love these things, you show that you do not really love God. For all these worldly things, they are things that are wicked and things that are bad. For all these worldly things, these evil desires, the craze for sex, the ambition to buy everything that appeals to you, the pride that comes from wealth and importance, these are not from God. They are from the evil world itself. And this world is fading away, and these evil forbidden things will go with it. And whosoever keeps the will of God will live forever. And so put your things with the things of God. Keep your things with God and walk with him, and he'll give you strength and help. And watch your friends, your closest friends, because they're going to affect you. And I see so many times, not just the young people, but older people get in with the wrong gang, and pretty soon you're thinking their way, and you're talking their way, and you're smelling their way, and you're in the walking in the paths of unrighteousness, and you need to be with God, walk with God. And finally, another thing we need to do is ask ourselves, if I want to be like Jesus, am I witnessing for Christ my Lord? God called upon us to be witnesses and to tell other people about Jesus. Listen to the call of God to his people in Romans 12, 1 and 2. And so, dear brothers, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living sacrifice, holy, the kind that he can accept. When you think of what he has done for you, is this too much to ask? Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but it is a new and different person with the fresh newness in you all that make it what you think and do. Then you will learn from your own experience how these wills or these will satisfy God and honor God. And so the witnesses in this world, we need to take us seriously. We need to represent him. We need to shine as lights in this world. We're to be like salt and light. And so we speak against evil and we shine for Jesus, and they see Jesus in us. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, God says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We beg you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Everything we do ought to be examined in the light of this charge. We are his ambassadors. We are representing Jesus Christ. Listen to me, friends, Christian friends. You're the best Christian that somebody knows. They're looking to you, and you're never going to be perfect, but you need to strive for perfection. That's what we do. None of us are perfect except Jesus. And so I would have to say, am I really representing the Lord Jesus? Am I using every opportunity to tell people about him? Be sound and clear when you're talking about Jesus. I heard about a little girl. She went to Sunday school for the first time in her life. And when she got home, her mother asked her how she liked it. And the little girl says she just loved it. She just loved Sunday school, filled with enthusiasm, couldn't wait to go back. And what did you do? The mother asks. Well, she says, the little girl said, we sang a song in a big room. Then we all went to a small room where a lady talked to us. Who was she? The mother asked. I don't know her name, the little girl said. I don't know her name, but I think she was the mother of Jesus because she talked about Jesus all the time. That's the way you ought to live, and that's the way I ought to live. We ought to talk about Jesus all the time, and let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. You said, yes, I want that my guideline. How do I do it? Well, you can't do it alone. You have to have help. You have to have Jesus in your heart. You have to have the Holy Spirit helping you. And you say, because Jesus says, As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to those who believed on his name. And you say, how do I accept Jesus? And I'll tell you how. You say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. Pray it with me. Sorry for my sins. Ask you to come into my heart. Take my sins away. And I'll follow you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. And if you make that prayer, you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And you can write for something if you accepted Jesus. If you want to have our little Bible study, a little Bible study put out. And this month of September, we're talking about a never-failing friend. And it's Jesus talking about Jesus. And so you write to us. It's free and postpaid. And send us a gift, because we have to have your help. If you think this is something worthwhile, then you need to support us. And we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And so just remember that, as clear as a bell. So dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have this time together. And Lord, we're praying for your people everywhere, and we're praying for the lost, those who never took Jesus. Help them make that prayer and walk with you and get out their Bible and read it. Thank you. And Jesus, we pray for the Christians in Eritrea who are suffering today, Christian people dying for you. Bless them, encourage them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So now I hope that you'll write to us. We're going to have your help. And remember, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, an international organization that audits our books. And they check every penny we have. And then before I go, I have to say this. I don't want to forget to say this. God loves you. God loves you so much that he gave his son to die on the cross. Jesus loves you. He says that he took for the joy that went before him. He was happy to come and die for our sins and pay for our sins. And when he died, he saw your face. He was dying for you. You're that important. If you'd been the only one, he should have died. He would have died for you. So God loves you. Jesus loves you. He and Jesus is God. And our Christian Worship Hour loves you. For over 40 years, mostly all of us volunteers, serving Jesus. And I want to tell you something else. I love you. I gave my whole life, 75 years, I'm on 76 years, preaching about Jesus. And he's more beautiful every day. And you just love him and trust him. And so God loves you and we love you. Put your faith in Jesus. Carry on and serve the Lord.
My dad loved to preach because it gave him the opportunity to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about having a personal relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, visit our website at cwh.org. You can stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view pastors' devotionals. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.